Jeremiah. I love you with an everlasting love. Nowadays in the world, we hear all the time, everywhere, the word love. It is largely used word. Everyone uses word love without its proper application. Only the minority uses the word love with its proper application. In this passage, so well read by Rita, Paul first presents the positive truth about true godly love. And then he also warns the believer about the negative truth of Satan's counterfeit love and its consequences. Sadly, nowadays, the world love that is actually a Satan counterfeit love. So let us talk about what exactly Paul talking about love first. And the first two verses we can read, Paul is saying, therefore, imitators of God as children and walk in love just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as fragrant aroma. The walk of the believer is a key matter to Paul. In his letter to the believers at Ephesus, he has introduced the fact ours has to be a worthy walk in unity. That's what we shared before. In chapter 4, verses 1 to 16. And then we also talked about the walk in from 17 to 32 verses, that walk we should not be walking. And we should not walk as Gentiles, unbelievers walk. Of course, he mentioned lots of things what unbelievers do, and he warned us that we should not be associated with unbelievers because their mind has been darkened. And he warned us we should not be following or associated with unbelievers. Now, in chapter 5, verse 1, Paul pleads to the believers to walk in such a way that our daily life has to be characterized by love. Growing in love is a continuous need for every believer, since loving. So our when in the verses our sister read, actually it starts with therefore. Word therefore is a continuous thing. That means something said before, so we should continue on now. So therefore reflects back to the last word in the previous chapter, that is chapter 4, verse 32. In that, Paul says, kindness, tenderheartedness, and forgiveness are the characteristics of God, who is an embodiment of love. So Paul is sort of, in brief, is saying that we have to be the imitators of God. Because God is love, Paul says here that we achieve those virtues by imitating the source of love, that is God Himself. The whole of Christian life is the reproduction of godliness as seen in the presence of Christ in our life. We can only imitate God when we know Him. Without knowing Him well, we can't imitate Him. We can know God by studying His word, His character, and by experiencing Him by our personal relationship. Then only we know who God is like, and then we will be able to imitate Him. Yet, the more we learn of God's character, the more we learn how far above He is and how impossible in our strength to imitate Him. I remember Stella Leslie. I think she would have read the Bible at least 100 times. From the beginning to the end. And I think she can quote any verse and shoot out by heart of the whole Bible. But whenever I happen to talk to her, now Stella, we were reading about certain things. I mean, she is quite capable of preaching to anybody she wants. But every time she used to tell me, oh, Daiva, look, you know, the more I read, I feel I am more ignorant. I tell you what, I have to learn more and more to be able to understand. Oh, it's too much hard for me to understand. I feel that I am more insignificant. That's the response of a mature person. Yet, the more we learn of God's character, the more we learn how far above He is and how impossible in our strength to imitate Him. The only way we can become imitators of God is for Lord Jesus to live His perfect life through us. Because God is love, as His beloved children, we are to walk in love. However, this ability is not natural for us. But our new nature in Christ, by the continuous power of the Holy Spirit flowing through us, we can be loving. Yes, we can be. Special especially during this time of COVID-19, when you are sort of stuck inside the home, how encouraging and inspiring others to encourage us with the word, with love. And I have a great friend. I thank God for him. He makes every effort to send the messages or talk to me, and he always asks, how can I pray for you, sister? And how can I help you? Just an encouragement. Word with love. Those who are given God's nature through Jesus Christ are commanded to love as God loves. For a Christian, for a believer, not to love is against his own nature as well as against God's nature. Lovelessness is therefore more than just a failure or a shortcoming. It is indeed a sin. Willful disobedience of God's command and disregard of God's example is to be not loving. So our character has to be always loving with the strength of Christ. Let's talk a little bit more about Christian love or agape love. The supreme act of God's love was to give his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. We are well aware of that verse, John 3:16. God's love brought our unforgiveness. God allowed the world with such a great love that he offered forgiveness to sinful, rebellious, wretched mankind by sending his own Son to give his life on the cross, that they might not suffer eternal death. He offered the world the free gift of eternal fellowship with him. Because forgiveness is the supreme evidence of God's love, it will also be the most convincing proof of our love. Love will always lead us to forgive others, just as love led God in Christ to forgive us. The presence of forgiveness always proves the presence of love. Because only love has the motive and the power to forgive. The extent of our love is the extent of our ability to forgive. Whatever another believer may do against us, no matter how terrible, are destructive, are unjustified, Christ has already paid the penalty for that sin. No matter how others may hurt, slander, persecute, or in any way harm us, Christ's sacrifice was sufficient against any person for his mistakes or faults. Because Christ has paid the penalty for every sin, we have no right to hold any sin against anyone, whether believer or non-believer. In Christ, all our sins are forgiven, to his name's sake. We can read that in 1 John 2, 2nd chapter, 12th verse. He has forgiven us all of transgression. You can read that in Colossians chapter 2, verse 13. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace. Just as the depth of God's love is shown by how much he has forgiven, the depth of our love is shown by how much we forgive. Peter says, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. The depth of our love is also shown by how much we know that we have been forgiven. The person who sees the greatness of his own forgiveness by God's love will himself in love be forgiven. He or she forgives in love because his heavenly Father has forgiven in love, and he or she desires to be an imitator of his Father. Father's love is not only forgiving and unconditional, but it is also self-sacrificing. Therefore, love as God loves is to love sacrificially, to love by giving ourselves as Christ did. Christian walking in love is to extend to every person, believer and non-believer. God loved us while we were yet sinners. And divine love led Christ to sacrifice himself for unworthy and ungrateful sinners like us. That is God's love. That is God's love we are supposed to imitate. And while we are talking about love, let us quickly see, go back to what is the current love used in the world or practiced in the world, that in fact a counterfeit love. It is a perversion. It is against what God is teaching us to love. So in verses 3 and 4, first chapter, we read, but do not let immorality or any impurity or greed even be named among you, as is proper among saints. And there must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting. Whatever God establishes, Satan always counterfeits. Where God establishes true love, Satan produces counterfeit love. Counterfeit love characterizes Satan's children, those who are of the world, just as true love characterizes God's children, those who are citizens of heaven. In contrast to godly, unselfish, unforgiving, unconditional love, the world's love is lustful and self-indulgent. It loves because the object of love is attractive, enjoyable, pleasant, satisfying, and appreciative. Love in return produces desired feelings or is likely to repay in some way. That's what the God worldly love practices nowadays. It is always based on the other person fulfilling one's own needs and desires in meeting one's own expectations. Worldly love is is reciprocal, giving little in the expectation of getting more. It should not be surprising that misguided quest for that kind of love leads inevitably to immorality and impurity, because that kind of love is selfish and destructive. It is a deceptive counterfeit of God's love. The world claims to want love, and love is advocated and praised from every corner. Romantic love, we talk about, especially staunted. Songs, novels, movies, television serials continually exploit emotional harmful desires as it were genuine love. Questing for and fantasizing about so-called perfect love is portrayed as the ultimate human experience. It should not be surprising that the misguided quest for that kind of love leads inevitably to immorality and impurity. Because as I said before, that kind of love is selfish, destructive, and deceptive, counterfeit of God's love. It is always conditional, and it is self-centered. It is not concerned about commitment, but only satisfaction. It is not concerned about giving, but only getting. It has no basis for permanence, because its purpose is to exploit rather than to serve and help. No wonder. No wonder. Now the current divorce rates are so high and are increasing every day in the world as we speak. So that's the type of counterfeit love we have to be careful about, and we have to continue to extend God's love. In the last two verses, what our sister Rita read, verses 5 and 7, Paul warns us to be aware of this type of love. And if you practice that type of love, there is a consequence, and he's warning us. He says, for this reason you know that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, Paul warns us, do not partake with them. Paul is saying here that God does not tolerate sin, and perverted love leads to punishment. Persons characterized by sin, Paul says, will have no inheritance in the kingdom of God. No person whose life pattern is one of habitual immorality, impurity, and greed can be a part of God's kingdom. Such would contradict the truth regarding the characteristics of a believer. Of course, we read in Romans 6 chapter, we have to be dead to sin and alive in God. Paul once said, shall we continue to sin that grace may abound? He says, certainly not. Sometimes we take grace into granted. We think that we are being saved by grace, so we continue on, do what we like. But that's not the case. Do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Habitually sinful person, no matter what he or she claims the relationship with God, he or she does not have a nature of truly saved person. We just have to be careful. God's children have God's nature, and the habitually simple person produces that he does not have godly nature. We are not to judge the person, God is the judge. But if the person continually sinning and habitually simple, I think there is a doubt whether that person is actually saved. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him. I think we are making a choice deliberately in sinning. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are different. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. This type of person whose habitual practice proves a person is not saved. But the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men. Perverted love attracts God's wrath. As per the beginning of the verse, chapter 5, Paul says, and he pleads to our believers, be partners with Christ in righteousness. Do not imitate the world, but rather be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love. We thank God for Paul and for his instructions of Christian walk. Reflecting our wealth in Christ. We thank God that we can share the believer's walk in love this morning. And we thank God for you all, and thank you for listening. Ray, back to you.
Thanks, Deva. Before we close, have we got Vanessa back, Raj?
Vanessa, are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready.